Good Wednesday afternoon. Welcome in to Sports 180. Thank you for being with us today. We are excited to be with you on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon here in East Tennessee. We have a lot to cover this afternoon. Excited for the guests that will stop by. We'll talk a little Masters being a day away. We have some Tennessee basketball updates for you. We'll get to that. Tennessee football as well, as they're right there in the middle of it. With spring practice going on, we'll cover that here over the next 3 hours. You will hear from Tennessee running backs coach Jerry Mack coming up on the show. David Ubben of The Athletic will stop by 1 hour from right now. And at 2:30, we'll talk to Braden Gall of 440 Sports. So a lot to cover between now and 3 o'clock. Heather, how are you?
Hey, doing great on this hump day there, Josh Ward. The best week of the year. Unfortunately, I'm not outside right now, and with all the bugs buzzing around, you know, birds and the bees, they're flying everywhere. I had to shut my door, so I'm gonna need like some kind of screen door so I can just prop that bad boy open and feel this amazing spring breeze. Because sources say tomorrow, not gonna be so nice.
No, so it'll be a good day to stay inside and watch the Masters, right? Well, that's going
true.
On. So you won't necessarily have a Masters weather feel, but we'll take care of that with updates for you on tomorrow's show. And again, we'll get you ready today. We're going to make our picks. So we'll go ahead and tell you who's going to win. So you don't, if you can't watch, it's no big deal. You'll know the results ahead of time.
Yeah, and just follow my lead. Maybe just fade Josh. I don't know. Hey, I do want to offer up, actually, don't fade your picks. You're really good. You picked Daniel Berger a few weeks ago.
Hanging on to that one, aren't we?
I want to offer up a really sincere apology for jinxing the absolute heck out of your favorite baseball team, the Atlanta Braves. I'm just really sorry.
You know, if they don't win a game this season, it's on you.
Tons more opportunities, but not the start you were looking for as you're trying to repeat division champs and then make it further.
You're right. Fortunately, they're playing 162 and not 60 this year, so that that allows them to buy some time. But fun fact, there are two teams that have played more than a couple of games. Actually, I guess we're now just at based on last night's results. So the update would be there are just two teams that are winless, the Oakland A's and then the Atlanta Braves. 0-4.
So is that
because
just,
of course, the Braves lost to the Nationals yesterday. So there you have it, 0-3 in one run game. So they're super competitive.
Yeah, it's 0-4. So out of 162, like you said, very small percentage at this point.
158-4 is still on the table.
Is that like stubbing your toe out of the gate? They have not fallen down yet. I mean, that's not a fall down. That's just I tripped a little bit out of the starting gate.
Yeah, well, you know what? They're definitely not leading the pack. So,
plenty of time.
It's all
we're
good.
Not even to the first. I mean, we're coming down the first straightaway. All good.
Yep. Optimism is as high as ever. Looking at the 1-4 Marlins being ahead of the Braves in the National League East, it's a very exciting time. Everybody's fired up. So why don't we dive right in and take a look around the sports world? I was close to being right, though, yesterday in saying that the Braves would get the win against Max Scherzer. They homered in the first inning there, first pitch. Hello, Acuna. Then hello, Freddie Freeman. They had multiple leads in the game, but in the ninth inning, it was the Nationals coming back. So Braves fall to 0-4. Not exactly what you're looking for. They're playing now. They're in the top of the first. We get day baseball all day long, so that's exciting. And we'll provide some updates with a bunch of games going on at 1:10. Like the Red Sox, they had the big J.D. Martinez stepping up last night. The Cubs are in action at 2:20, so a lot of local fan interest, and again, the Braves playing, that's going on this afternoon. So we'll have some baseball updates for you. Local interest with the Tennessee Vols, Heather, as we have expected all season long. Keon Johnson announced that he is entering the NBA draft, so Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer doing what we expected, coming and going after one season, and I fully expect Keon Johnson to be a top 10 pick in the draft.
Yeah, it's like everywhere has him between 6 and 8. I mean, it looks like a sure thing that he is going to be a top 10 pick at this point in time. And yeah. Love the new logo, love the KJ Chili Pepper logo. So shouts to him as he was getting all that lined up. And I just hope he has a great career. This is something that's so exciting. I remember back in 2019 when we were getting ready for the NBA draft with Admiral Schofield, with Grant Williams, with Jordan Bone, and what was going to happen, and all the excitement that carried us through the summer of paying attention to their summer league games. I'm ready for this. I hate that this team didn't achieve the highs that we all expected. But, man, thinking back on some of those Keon dunks, heck yeah. I mean, this guy is going to translate to the next level. So really exciting stuff. I have not done a welfare check on Ron Slay yet, as he was still holding on to hope.
He was trying to talk Keon coming back into reality. Yesterday, we kind of just let him. We just let him do what he needed to do there.
Yeah, we weren't going to pop any balloons or rain on anybody's parade yesterday. But Keon making the announcement earlier today, wish him nothing but the best of luck. It was fun watching him this season and can't wait to see where he lands. Hopefully it's not a bad team. I want to see him go to a good team and be competitive.
On the football side, Tennessee will be hoping to land the Wade twins, as they have announced their announcement date. They will be making their commitment next Friday. These are two talented in-state prospects, and I think Tennessee has a really good chance to land them. If Tennessee does not land anybody in the next 8 days, then they would be the first two commitments for Josh Heupel if they do choose the Vols.
Yeah, if they do, and it's looking like it's trending in that direction. So Tennessee looking good to get the commitment from the Wade twins, and it looks like a package deal situation where you're going to be able to offer both scholarships and see how that goes. It worked out great the last time we had a pair of twins on campus, so really holding on to the hope that the Wade twins will be committing to Tennessee next Friday.
So that's something to monitor over the next week. Nike suspending its deal with Deshaun Watson, with that story continuing to develop. And I'm seeing Beats by Dre also doing the same. So with the sexual assault allegations that have been made, two victims with their allegations yesterday went public with their names, with their identity. So Nike in its statement said, "We are deeply concerned by the disturbing allegations and have suspended Deshaun Watson. We will continue to closely monitor the situation." So there's a financial hit to Deshaun. We'll again continue to monitor this, as everybody is in the NFL. The NFL is looking into it. Houston police are also investigating now.
Yeah, absolutely. This is all parties are getting involved in this situation. And I still am feeling sort of just so confused about the situation, knowing who we've talked to that has vouched for Deshaun or heard, you know, Dabo Swinney in those comments, and now all the allegations coming to light. I mean, it's just really difficult to try and make sense of it all. But now that the authorities are involved and the NFL is launching its own investigation, at some point in time, we will have a definitive course of action that's going to be taken.
I saw that your boy Tom Brady, this is the year of Tom, so he's at
totally.
Disney. You know, and he's taking on the dark side. They asked him to come over. He said, "No, I've already got a winning team." And also, he's launched his own NFT company. So Tom Brady launching his own NFT company, and I'm expecting that he'll make a ton of money doing so.
He probably also has a hard drive with some Bitcoin passwords on there. I mean, you know, what is the guy? He's just like Peyton. He's King Midas. Is the NFT going to be a one of one? Him being carried off the boat, maybe like photoshopped onto some sort of print, some sort of canvas, that would be cool. Or him launching the Lombardi Trophy from boat to boat. Can't wait to see what this company cooks up and where what direction they go.
Yeah, the name of the company is Autograph, and it will work with the biggest names in sports, entertainment, fashion, and pop culture, according to their announcement, to work with creators to develop unique digital collectibles. Autograph will also produce NFTs featuring Brady. So you're going to get more Tom Brady coming your way, as he's living it up in Tampa and getting ready to come back with a team next year that might be better than the one that just won the Super Bowl. We will see. As I mentioned, we have baseball going on all day. And also, congratulations to Glenn Jacobs, to Kane, who was inducted last night into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah, there's a good write-up in the New Sentinel today, so everybody check that out. But looked awesome. Definitely got very sentimental, was overcome with emotion. Has to be just such a huge moment. I mean, getting into any sort of Hall of Fame, the WWE Hall of Fame, that's just so awesome for his portrayal of Kane and all those years, and just what a cool career. And always a friend of Sports 180 with you and Will. So, yeah, love
Absolutely,
that.
Which we really appreciated. We had a blast when we were able to have him on a weekly basis. That was so cool for us, and helped us kind of get a behind-the-scenes look at how the business operates, how everything goes down with WWE. So that was cool, and he was a shoe-in, by the way, a clear-cut Hall of Famer. So congratulations to Glenn Jacobs, Mayor Jacobs, a WWE Hall of Famer officially. It had NWO, by the way. They're now Hall of Famers for life. Loved NWO growing up. So youngster Josh, super excited with the events of last night, as it's WrestleMania week,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, getting ready for WrestleMania week. The Athletic has a great write-up on Roman Reigns and his time as a Georgia Tech All-ACC football player. So make sure you check that out, getting ready for all your WrestleMania action. But really exciting. And I too, was an NWO fan and still just lost my mind every time they came out in the black and white. Just that was the summit. I mean, that's the Everest, right, of wrestling.
It is what now? Sorry?
Just like the NWO, the Attitude Era, just that period of time is
loved
the
it.
Summit.
Yeah. I'm very biased in my answer, but yeah, I love the Attitude Era and the stars that came out. I mean, Stone Cold, The Rock, Undertaker,
remember
so many,
China?
And keep going on.
China was like legit a bad A. She was awesome. Yeah.
Sure. D-Generation X. So my favorite tag team came out of DX, so.
There
just the best. Absolutely. Yeah. The New Age Outlaws. So congrats again to Glenn Jacobs. That is our look around the sports world here on Sports 180. We invite you to join us at 656-9900. Tennessee football continues spring practice. The running back position is an interesting one because you have a number of players. Again, it's a group where you have depth, you have some talent and potential, but most of it's unproven. Jerry Mack talking about a couple of guys to know who could play important roles in Tennessee's offense when we come back here on Sports 180. Heather Harrington is here. Joel Silverberg. I'm Josh Ward. You're listening to 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thanks for being with us. Hope you're having a great Wednesday afternoon. With Heather Harrington and Joel Silverberg, I'm Josh Ward. We'll talk some Tennessee basketball coming up. Keon Johnson making it official that he is headed to the NBA draft. So just further confirming what we've been expecting, and that Tennessee will have a very different looking roster. Doesn't mean it will be a bad roster. I think Tennessee is going to still end up putting together a pretty good group together next season. All that is still to be determined, but adding Justin Powell, and there's the assumption as well that he'll be able to play right away as a transfer from Auburn. Yep. So that's to be determined. There's a lot to work out. We'll do that. But there's also Tennessee football, which is here in the middle of spring practice, Heather, and we know that Tennessee has to replace Eric Gray and Ty Chandler, the two guys that carried pretty much all of the load last year in the offensive backfield in the last couple of years for Tennessee. Ty Chandler played a lot over the last several years, and then Eric Gray really took charge late in his freshman season and what he was able to do last year. Both decided to transfer, so you have a new stable of backs that have an opportunity to replace all of that production by Ty Chandler and Eric Gray.
Yeah, and man, Eric Gray, you know, was just there was so much flash and so much of what he did also led you to believe that he was just going to keep getting better and better too. So that's going to be obviously big shoes to fill for this running back stable. But it looks like, you know, everybody's going to get a ton of reps, and it looks like for the most part, people are healthy. So that is good as you're trying to sort of establish whatever pecking order is going to come out of the spring process. And we even talked about yesterday, if you're not getting reps, if you don't end up earning the reps at running back, could you also be looked at moving to linebacker, as that's kind of a natural transition for some other people that can't get on the field as a running back. Sometimes they can get on as a linebacker, that obviously being a big position of need.
Yeah, is this the fifth straight year for a different running backs coach at Tennessee? Will that be the case? You had Chris Winkie, David Johnson, Jay Graham, now Jerry Mack is the new coach, and then, of course, they had a different coach in 2017. So I'm right there, five straight years with a different running backs coach at Tennessee.
Yeah, that's tough. And this year, everybody's new, so everybody's going through that transition. So maybe Ty Chandler and Eric Gray were like, let's just go pick who we want to be coached by and hope that works out. That's difficult. I for some reason I thought Jay Graham was here a couple of seasons, but no. I mean, when you lay out the timeline, you're correct. That's a lot of transition. That's a lot of coaching.
Yeah. So it's just a lot of change, which again applies to a lot of different areas. But again, there's an opportunity, and there's some players to pay attention to. Some second year guys who are intriguing. I think one is D Beckwith, and this is a guy that There's no question about his athleticism, his talent. The real question has been, okay, how exactly does he fit in? Is he a receiver? Is he a tight end? Wait, could he play running back? Listen to what Jerry Mack, Tennessee's new running backs coach, said yesterday talking about second-year player D. Beckwith and how he's fit in the offensive backfield.
D's doing a really incredible job of just continuing to learn the finer details of the position every single day. We talk a lot about just playing with low pad levels because, you know, he is all a bigger back. So just getting his pad level down and just learning some of the intricacies of the position. You know, he played so many different things in high school. And, you know, last year, I think they moved him around a little bit. So he's finally getting a situation where he's kind of getting settled in on a position. And you talk about extremely intelligent, you know, answering questions in the meetings. And just from that quarterback background that he has, you can just tell that he's just got a sense of just the entire game and situation football and how it kind of fits together. So, you know, I've been really pleased with his progress over the last few practices.
D. Beckwith is just, he's a massive human back there playing the running back position.
Yeah, you just wonder, like, how versatile can he be used? I mean, is this a guy that could be used like a Jimmy Graham? I don't know what his speed is, but his size is big. If he can catch the ball and be trusted with the ball and also block, I mean, you see these big targets, like I don't want to just compare him to the best of the best, but when you're looking at body style, there's similarities between him and, you know, like a Gronkowski and those guys. So can they get innovative and use him in those ways? So, like, you know, can he establish himself as that type of player?
Well, I mean, think about like Derrick Henry, who's listed 6'3", close to 250. Well, D. Beckwith is 6'5", close to 230, so not quite as heavy, but not small either. Nobody's making that case. So I'll still be curious, but continue to get work in the offensive backfield. That's Jerry Mack talking about D. Beckwith. And then you have Jabari Small, who I guess comes back with the most experience there at that position at this level, playing in the SEC. Listen to what Jerry Mack said about Jabari Small. I think a player to pay attention to with how he will factor into Tennessee's offense this year.
Yeah, you can just tell Jabari is one of those guys that really was born to play running back. He has a really natural feel, has great instincts at the position. You can tell he's been really well coached in high school and also too with the previous staff. He has a natural feel for that position right now. Every day we come out there and he is disciplined, he is focused, he understands protections right now, and which is really intriguing and really impressive for a guy really of his youth. But right now he has been extremely impressive to everybody on the field. The way he handles his business, the way he goes about his business, he takes care of business like a pro. And we talk about that in the room all the time, making sure you handle yourself, write notes, take notes, and then go out there and apply to the field. And that's what I've been really impressed with him with this entire spring. These first six practices, He's been really sparked and showed his true colors, and I think he's going to really help us this year.
Jabari Small last year, Heather, had 26 carries, 117 yards. That's 4.5 a pop. One of his first runs, he had the truck stick hit that he applied, and I think a lot of fans said, okay, let's see what this guy has. So I would not forget about Jabari Small when there's all the talk around Tyon Evans. I think Jalen Wright's intriguing. Everybody gets a shot here, though, because, again, everybody for the first time is trying to be the guy or one of the top two guys in Tennessee's offense at running back.
Well, and like you've seen at Tennessee over the past several years, you just need a thick stable of running backs because of injuries and because you've had guys that have missed time, not a whole season or anything, but you've had guys miss time at different points throughout the last few seasons. So, yeah, I think just having as many guys ready to go that are going to be productive are huge. And for Jabari Small, if you're averaging 4.5 yards a carry, that's all you need. I mean, that's great. That's going to keep moving the ball. That's going to keep the offense moving. And you wonder with what they want to do offensively and how they want to speed up the game, could you see some of those running backs benefit from having that faster tempo to be more elusive and to have more of those kind of game-changing runs that this offense has just been in need of the last few years?
Heather, update for you on the Atlanta Braves, who, as we noted earlier, have gotten off to a great start. So they scored in the top of the first to take a lead against the Washington Nationals. It's now the bottom of the first, and the Washington Nationals lead 3-1, and they've yet to record an out here in the bottom of the first. So things are going great for the Atlanta Braves.
Oh, man. I really kind of feel responsible.
3-1 Nationals.
I put them as in my power poll, top five best chance to win the World Series. But obviously, the World Series isn't going to be lost in the month of April. But if you fall to 0-5, I mean, people are upset at that point in time. You want to get a win in the first couple of games just to feel good about yourself.
Yeah, I don't want to misquote him, but I do believe several occasions, Brian Cox, when he was the GM of the Smokies, he'd come on with us and we'd talk about, you're not winning the World Series in April, but you sure can start to play your way out of it. And we're in week number one, but eventually you have to win a game. And maybe they'll win this one, but to do so, they'll have to come back. We'll come back here on Sports 180. 656-9900 is how you can join us. It's a great day so far. We'll have a midday sports minute to get to here with Joel Silverberg. We'll talk more Tennessee football and basketball this afternoon. And David Ubben will join us in 30 minutes right here on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180, thank you for being with us. When we catch up on what's going on in the college basketball world, maybe this offseason will be, well, I think it'll probably be wild because of all the comings and goings of players, but there'll just be a lot to keep up with, including Arizona parting ways with basketball coach Sean Miller. So he's out at Arizona. That's a big job that's open, with North Carolina just having filled its vacancy with Hubert Davis taking over. Indiana recently hiring its coach, Oklahoma, Texas, but Arizona now open with Sean Miller being fired.
So Arizona taking a much different path than what Kansas took, handing Bill Self a lifetime contract last week, saying that you just basically cannot be fired. So that's really interesting, because I think both have been accused and both are probably guilty of the same things. Do you think that just goes back to what have you done for me lately kind of thing, or do you think it was more egregious at Arizona and that's why they wanted to part ways?
Well, I'll be curious to see why with the timing, because they wait until April to do it. They could have done it several weeks ago because their season ended. And Arizona has taken different steps with the investigation. Like they were ineligible due to a self-imposed ban this year with the NCAA tournament. So Arizona has handled the investigation differently within its own program. I'm not saying they've handled everything correct. I'm just saying different than Kansas.
Yeah.
But also, the last three seasons have not been nearly as good as what Sean Miller was doing before all this stuff came out. The last three seasons in the Pac-12, they've gone 8-10, 10-8, 11-9. So they have not been nearly as good. So Bill Self, if he had the same record at Kansas the last 3 years, I'm guessing is not getting a lifetime contract.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's right to point that out. And maybe some people would wonder, well, why isn't he doing as well? And maybe that's because he wasn't able to offer people the same things that he was offering before on the recruiting trail to get those players in. But it's just curious, and it's all about results. I mean, this is all a results-driven business. And if he would have kept winning, Sean Miller was still going to be there. No investigation, FBI wiretap, what have you, as LSU and Kansas have both proven. Like those guys are operating towards the top of college basketball, and that's why LSU and Kansas haven't done anything to get rid of them.
Yeah, I think that's pretty clear. If Will Wade were losing on the basketball court, he would have lost his job, but he's winning on the basketball court, so he's been able to keep his job. I think in Tennessee, if Jeremy Pruitt had a winning season this past year as opposed to going to 3-7, I think we could be talking about a different situation with Tennessee's head coaching position, but he went 3-7. So that changes the conversation. So big news there at Arizona. With Sean Miller out, that's a pretty good job, and maybe, you know, maybe now they're thinking we have a better chance to go get a coach that we want, as opposed to if they have to go through this NCAA trouble, we're on the other side or getting closer to that. I don't know. I'll be curious to see what comes out of that story. And then back to Tennessee, as we know that Tennessee is going to be going through changes. Keon Johnson announcing that he's going to the NBA, so you have to replace him. Jaden Springer, Eve Pons, a couple other players already in the transfer portal. Tennessee has added a commitment from Quentin Dibunje. He is a very interesting prospect, long athlete, 6'6", I believe, is how he's listed. And he's coming from a program that produces a lot of talent, Montverde Academy. And that news came out here in the last hour. And if you look at GoVols247.com and the scouting report talking about his ability to grow as a talent, and he has French connections. You think about the connections Tennessee used to land Eve Pons.
Yep.
And in this story that Grant Ramey posted, Mike Schwartz, Tennessee's associate head coach, a part of this process. So Very interesting prospect that Tennessee has added in Quentin Dibunje, a 6'6 wing, to be able to come in. And his coach at Montverde believes he can come in and help Tennessee immediately.
Yeah, and we've talked about for the last couple of weeks, Ron Slay hit on it yesterday. This roster's just in flux, and it's going to look totally different right now than what it will in the fall. And you see some of the pieces coming into place with Powell earlier and now this, and you just wonder, okay, what's the final look going to be? And then that's when you're going to be able to start really making projections and predictions for this team. But yeah, that's a cool pickup.
His coach told Grant Ramey, quote, he's got a strong physical frame. He moves his feet really well. He's an elite level defender guarding any of the guard spots. He can guard a point guard. He can guard a big wing, any of those in the 1-3 positions or 1-4. He can defend. He's a really high-level defender. I imagine that's something that Rick Barnes was looking for.
Are we sure Eve Pons didn't just reclassify? Because I feel like you just read me his bio.
Yeah, there would be some similarities, I would say. Tennessee adding Quentin Dibunje in the 2021 class to join Kennedy Chandler and Jemai Meshack.
All right. That's really awesome. And you need that. I mean, the bread and butter of this Tennessee team, this Tennessee program under Rick Barnes is all about defense. So that's very attractive when you're reading off what he can do defensively and what he's going to bring to the table and the versatility, because you also saw at different points in time some better defense to be played on the perimeter this past season. But this sounds like he falls in line to the prototype of the players that Rick Barnes and this staff are looking for constantly. I mean, this is going to be your prototypical guy.
So college basketball offseason, buckle up. It's just going to be quite a ride.
Well, and with the transfer stuff and with the nomadic nature of it, the announcements coming out, you know, they'll trickle out. You still got the Gonzaga guys that have to announce some of the big names, see what UCLA, what happens with UCLA if they lose any of the key pieces that help them on their run. I mean,
does Juzang go now?
Yeah. I mean, sports is just turning into whatever you're interested in. It's a 24-hour a day, 7-day a week, 12-month a year cycle. So everybody's taken off. They've taken the NFL model of, okay, let's be relevant for the biggest percentage of the calendar year that we can. And now I think other sports are finding that, hey, look, we've got a lot of intrigue too. We can stretch out our time in the spotlight as well to more months out of the year.
Yeah. At the start of next basketball season, every basketball season, you're going to have to do who plays for whom? You're going to have to check back and see who's where at the start of next season.
And I don't think it's going to be terrible. Like, I think there's a lot of doomsdayers out there that are like, everybody's just going to start transferring. They're only going to be at one place, for a year, and then they're going to transfer. It's like, that might happen for a large percentage at first, but 9 times out of 10, it's a hassle. It's a hassle to move, and I think a lot of people do actually like, where they end up choosing, and they want to stay and grow for however long that is. But, yeah, it's definitely transient. That's for sure. It's the number one sport.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure it's nine. You're right. 9.9 times out of 10, it might be a hassle, but it's going to be 6 or 7 times out of 10. They're going to take on that hassle, it looks like, based on the rate.
Yeah, you might be right. So we'll do roster checks. That was the runner-up to ACC Player of the Year, now playing in the Big Ten. Okay, all right, let's get this straight.
How many people said, I don't like this transferring, and then also said, how cool was that Johnny Juzang story for UCLA? So, you're probably going to see some crossover. In opinions.
Yeah, even Coach Cal, congratulating Johnny Juzang. He's like, you're always part of the family, and I thought that was really classy of Cal to throw that out there. Because minus the pandemic, if the pandemic doesn't happen, Juzang's probably still at Kentucky. I mean, that was the number one reason he transferred, is I want to go back home and be near my family during this uncertain time. And yeah, it's just a huge story, and the tournament made him a superstar.
All right, a lot to keep up with. Sean Miller out as Arizona's basketball coach. That's a big-time program out in the Pac-12. And also maybe looking at the Pac-12 saying, hey, they're getting stronger. We need to make a move. We'll see what direction they go. And then Tennessee picking up a commitment for the 2021 class in basketball. Quentin Dibunje is joining Tennessee out of Montverde Academy. We'll come back. We'll hit the face-off next. Joel Silverberg sets us up with some tough questions, and then David Ubben of The Athletic stops by at 1 o'clock to talk Tennessee football on 99.1, the Sports Animal. We're back on Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. In a little more than 10 minutes at the start of the 1 o'clock hour, we will talk to David Ubben of The Athletic and get his thoughts on how things have gone for Tennessee this spring, what he's learned about the team, some of the off-field issues that Tennessee is still trying to deal with, some of those headlines as well. So we'll talk about that coming up at the start of the 1 o'clock hour, and we'll talk to Braden Gall of 440 Sports at 2:30, some college football, maybe some college hoops with him. That's at 2:30. We'll be with you until 3 o'clock as we close out the first hour of today's show with the face-off. Joel, what do you have for us today?
Which under-the-radar player from Tennessee football could you see breaking out in 2021?
Heather, I'm going to choose a player that we talked about earlier in the hour. I'm going to go with Jabari Small. When I did my three guys to watch on offense and defense blog piece a few weeks ago, I put Jabari Small in there. And I'm not saying he's going to go rush for 1,000 yards, but I think he'll be an important player for Tennessee in the backfield and take a pretty important share of the workload.
Yeah, I think that's a great pick. You know, when you're looking at this roster, it's hard to imagine somebody like just vaulting up and making a huge impact that we haven't talked about yet, because we've talked about the need for so many playmakers. You're just throwing out a bunch of names. So I think this one is really hard to kind of dial in on, but I would look towards the backfield and maybe in the secondary, you know, some of the more overlooked guys. Can they end up playing their way back into the rotation?
Who is your pick to win the Masters?
I'm going to go with Patrick Cantlay. He's getting 22-1 odds. I picked him earlier in the year, and he fell short on the final day, but still had a top four finish. I love the Jordan Spieth out there and him getting a lot of love and attention. I'll be rooting for him, but I'm going to pick Patrick Cantlay.
All right, Heather, I told you I've got a theory this week. Perhaps it bombs. Perhaps it plays no role whatsoever. But I'm going to go with John Rahm. He's going to be one of the top players to pay attention to. Anyway, I'm going to go with the baby boost. So he and his wife, they could have had a baby this week, could have knocked him out. Instead, they welcomed their newborn to the world, and now he can go out and play inspired golf. So I'm going to go with the baby boost for John Rahm to win the Masters.
Who is your updated top team in the NBA?
You know, they beat up on the Celtics last night, so I don't know that that means too much. But I still want to see the Lakers come back healthy. If they do, they will be the team to beat. The Nets have so much potential. I'm going to go with the 76ers right now. I'm going to go with the Philadelphia 76ers. That's the team I referenced that beat up on the Celtics last night.
All right. I like that 76ers pick. I was kind of leaning towards them. I'm going to zag a little bit. You still have Utah that is just absolutely killing it in the West. But, I mean, there's no more denying, and the fact that Kevin Durant is on the cusp of being back and being a contributor, Brooklyn Nets are playing amazing right now, and I think Brooklyn's probably the team to beat at this point.
Bad News Bears, Major League, and The Sandlot all debuted on April 7th. Which baseball movie is the best?
Josh, this is hard, and I cannot even believe that all three of these movies in different years were all released on April 7th, so that's really cool. I'm going to go with Major League, even though The Sandlot is near and dear to my teenage heart. Major League, all the amazing one-liners just a bit outside. I mean, just all of the one-liners are so good. One of the most quotable movies. Give me Major League.
Yeah, I think it's Major League. I think it's the better movie. It's the more entertaining movie, I would say. The Sandlot, I love. It holds a special place in my heart. I'm going to say if you're looking for the nostalgia feel, you take yourself back to your youth, something like that, then The Sandlot's your choice there. But overall, rank them. I would go Major League, then The Sandlot, then Bad News Bears.
If you were at the Masters, are you having the pimento cheese or the egg salad sandwich?
I would go pimento cheese here. I associate it more than I do the egg salad with the Masters. I would more associate the egg salad sandwich with like Houston Astros baseball, because I think of trash cans when I think of Houston Astros baseball, and that's where I would put the egg salad sandwich. So put me down for pimento cheese.
All right. I love that. Gosh, my pre-dairy-free life would definitely have jumped on the pimento cheese. That is absolutely the best sandwich that's there. Under the radar, barbecue. They also have a great barbecue sandwich that's like $2. So, yeah, I'll have to zag and go egg salad, but pimento cheese will always have my heart.
To quote Michael Scott from The Office, could you bring anything more stinky for lunch when referring to an egg salad sandwich? Heather gets the win.
All right, there you go.
Love it. And I totally, and I can't even believe I won. So shouts to Joel. I appreciate that because I completely dodged question number one because I honestly, I didn't want to say I have no idea, but this is, it's super hard to predict. Like, I have no idea. We've been talking about, like, I don't even know who's considered under the radar at this point on this football roster because I feel like we've run through all the names at length.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say it's a roster of under the radar players that Tennessee has heading into 2021. So you don't want to pick one player that's under the radar that makes a jump?
Just throw it up. Who could it be? No, I honestly think it's going to be somebody on the defensive side of the ball, and we haven't talked about him, but you know, we've gone through all the names at linebacker and defensive back, but somebody's going to emerge and play better than what we anticipate, right? I mean, just the odds have to shake out that they are going to find a diamond in the rough out of all those bodies at those two positions. Because there's so much opportunity. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that is the face-off. It's presented by Marble City Family Chiropractic.
Yeah, whenever you have aches and pains that are keeping you down and you want to get rid of them in a natural way, you can do that with Drs. Jason and Alicia Bloom at Marble City Chiropractic. Call them today. Set up a one-on-one consultation. 766-2081. It's time for you to start living the life you were designed to live with Marble City Chiropractic.
We'll talk Tennessee football. What stands out from the last 2.5 coming up on 3 weeks of spring practice with David Ubbin of The Athletic when we begin hour number 2 of Sports 180 on 99.1, the Sports Animal.